organization. I talk briefly about needing to take advantage of existing digital tools they already have for their knowledge workers, about digitally linking their knowledge systems with business operations systems, and ultimately creating a new infrastructure around the PC and internet technologies. If you do these things, I told them, you'll be prepared for the three fundamental business shifts that will occur as the result of all the digital inflection points. 1. Most transactions between business and consumers, business and business, and consumers and government will become self-service digital transactions. Intermediaries will evolve to add value or perish. 2. Customer service will become the primary value-added function in every business. Human involvement in service will shift from routine low-value tasks to a high-value personal consultancy on important issues, problems, or desires for the customer. 3. The pace of transactions and the need for more personalized attention to customers will drive companies to adopt digital processes internally if they have not yet adopted them for efficiency reasons. Companies will use a digital nervous system to regularly transform their internal business processes to adapt to an environment that constantly changes because of customer needs and competition. Complex customer service and business problems will require powerful computers on both sides of the relationship, customer and employee. The new relationships will be augmented by various electronic means, such as voice, video, interactive use of the same computer screen, and so on. We'll see a world in which fairly simple personal companion devices proliferate side by side with incredibly powerful, general-purpose PCs that support knowledge work at home or the office. The German Bank Board had a final question for me, which is the question on everyone's mind. What should they do personally to get ready for this new digital world? I left them with these thoughts. Practice hands-on usage. Senior executives should use email and other electronic tools to get familiar with a new way of doing things. They should see what their competitors' internet sites look like. They should become internet users and consumers. Buy some books and arrange some travel over the internet, I told them, and see what it's like.
I think every business person needs to get personally involved in using the PC and the internet, going out and buying some products, seeing the type of homepage their company has, see what their competitors have there. That'll help them to appreciate that whatever constituency they're working with, partners, shareholders, prospective employees, and most importantly, their customers, that this really is a new way of communicating.
As of late 1998, CEOs are beginning to explore this new medium. About 50% of the readership of Chief Executive Magazine use the internet an hour or two a week, but only 25% use it daily, and 11% have never used the internet at all. Many, many consumers already use the internet far more intensively. If you're going to lead the digital age, you need to become familiar enough with the internet to be able to imagine what the web lifestyle will mean for your industry, even if the change is going to take years. You should find ways to immerse yourself and your other executives in these new approaches, and have retreats where you can determine the right strategy for applying them to your own business. For years and years, enthusiasts have been saying that the internet will happen tomorrow. You're going to keep reading prognostications that the big change will happen in the next 12 months. This is just baloney. The social adaptations that have to occur take years, and the infrastructure has to be built out. But when the social and technical changes reach critical mass, the change will be quick and irreversible. The point will come where the web lifestyle really will take off, and I believe that's sometime in the next 5 years. As I said in The Road Ahead, we always overestimate the change that will occur in the next 2 years and underestimate the change that will occur in the next 10. Don't let yourself be lulled into inaction. One possible scenario is that you'll scramble to build some internet sites and then you won't see an appreciable portion of your customers or partners using them right away. This situation might mislead you into thinking, oh well, the internet's not going to change our business after all, so let's not focus on it. Because it won't happen overnight, you might think nothing fundamental is going to change. Then, a few years later, all of a sudden the change will surprise you, and you'll find it hard to catch up. The middleman must add value. Here on the edge of the 21st century, a fundamental new rule of business is that the internet changes everything. At the minimum, internet technologies are altering the way every company, even a small one, deals with its employees, partners, and suppliers. Not every company needs to use the internet to interact with its customers right now, but someday soon a corporate website where customers can do business with a company will be as essential as the telephone and a mailing address have been. Already, the overwhelming majority of Fortune 500 companies have websites. The internet is driving down costs for transactions and distribution, and reshaping the relationships of companies with their customers. The internet produces more competition among vendors and more access to vendors by potential customers. In pre-internet days, the only way consumers could get goods from most manufacturers was through tiers of distributors and resellers. Today, consumers can transact business directly with manufacturers eager to offer internet service. Nowadays, any manufacturer can provide the internet equivalent of a factory outlet. Before the internet, gathering all the information for financial products, travel options, and other consumer products required lots of time. A multitude of service companies made their money by collecting and organizing that kind of information for customers. Today, despite imperfect search tools, consumers themselves can go to the internet to find much of the information they need, and any company can dispense valuable information cheaply by means of the internet without branch offices. The internet is a great tool for helping customers find the best deal they can. It is reasonably easy for consumers to jump from one retail website to another to find the best prices on some goods. At least two different services provide real-time pricing comparisons for consumers shopping for goods such as books and CDs. Some travel sites feature automated bargain finders that can track down low airfares. At least one company, Priceline.com, reverses the buyer-seller relationship by having buyers bid the price they're willing to pay for a car or a plane ticket, and shopping that price around to sellers. How broadly this approach will be used is yet unclear, but it is possible only through the reach of the internet. Some web merchants will adopt flexible pricing. Flexible prices are already a fixture of the ordinary marketplace. Many electronics and appliance stores advertise price guarantees in which they promise to match the lowest price a consumer can find. This strategy lets them say that they won't be undersold even while their marked prices stay higher. Some stores run so many sales that there are really two prices for most items, the regular price for the impulse shopper and the sale price for the patient shopper. Direct mail marketers often publish different prices in different catalogs targeted at different market segments. When you call to order, the sales representative asks you for your customer number or catalog number first so that he or she knows what to charge you. The techniques used by direct marketers are crude compared with what the internet will make possible. Sellers will identify repeat visitors to their online stores and give them personalized information and services. If a store's website comes to know what kinds of prices a customer has or hasn't been willing to pay in the past, it may reduce a price to spur that customer to buy. Many websites ask users for registration information, including name, address, demographic data, and credit information. While this data enables businesses to offer better services and support for customers and do more targeted marketing, consumers should be able to approve in advance the use of any personal data and whether that data can be passed on to other entities. Today, e-commerce runs on the honor system, with vendors asking users their permission for information use. We're working on technology that would let consumers predefine the type of data that their PCs would make available to other systems over a network. The software will put the control with the user, where it belongs, while also eliminating the need for the user to re-enter the same data over and over.